Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, to me it has been tremendously refreshing to come to verse 16 of Malachi chapter 3, and to find a very different people than the ones we have been looking at, examining, listening to, wondering about for the first 3 3/4 chapters of the book of Malachi so far. But when we come to verse 16 of chapter 3, we really turn a corner. And instead of finding a group of people who are belligerent and hard-hearted and rebellious and blind to their own spiritual condition, who are so dense they can't understand the Word of God as it comes to them, we find a very different people. We read in verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." Ah, blessed remnant. Blessed company of those who fear the Lord. They existed in the time of Malachi. We wouldn't have suspected that, I suppose, reading the book from chapter 1, verse 1, until we get to this verse in chapter 3, verse 16. But knowing what we know from elsewhere in the Bible and about the ways of God, we should have suspected that they were there. In fact, I think I can make that stronger. We should have known that they were there, because the indication of Scripture is that God always has a faithful remnant, even in the darkest hour. And we find that to be the case here in Malachi chapter 3. So we'll look at this a little bit further in a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, February 27. And you know, of course, that we do depend upon gifts from radio listeners to keep teaching God's Word on this station. Well, here's a godly remnant preserved in the midst of apostasy. Apostasy is a word that means departure. When we're talking about apostasy in the realm of the Christian religion, we're talking about those who claim to be Christians but have departed from Christian orthodoxy, Christian doctrine, biblical doctrine. That's why we have to have words like Bible-believing Christians. Well, what kind of Christians are there except Bible-believing Christians? In one manner of speaking, there are none. You can't be a Christian, not a true Christian, if you don't believe the Bible. But in the parlance of common cultural language, a lot of people are called Christians who really don't believe the Bible. And so we have to start categorizing Christians into different companies, and we have this group and that group, a lot of times described more by political leanings than anything else. But somewhere along the line, we come to Bible-believing Christians. Well, the same thing was true in the Old Testament days. Now, of course, there were differences, to be sure. Before the coming of Christ, God's focus was not upon the nations of the world, but rather upon one nation, Israel. And so we're talking about a remnant in Malachi in the context of the nation of Israel. When I say God always has a faithful remnant, even in the darkest hour, I don't mean to imply that God had faithful people in every nation of the world in Malachi's day. But what I'm saying is that even though things seemed exceedingly dark in these days that Malachi ministered, and the description of that darkness we have been looking at now for several weeks as we've been studying the book of Malachi together, nevertheless, we come to the wonderful reality that God had a faithful remnant then. And as we look back through the pages of Scripture, back through the Old Testament, back, I think we can accurately come to the conclusion that God always had a faithful remnant in every age, in every situation, even though there is a great deal of apostasy in the Old Testament. And apostasy in the Old Testament is basically the same thing as I described as Christian apostasy. And we could even debate whether it's accurate to call Old Testament people Christians or not. Obviously, Christ hadn't come. The word can't apply in its strictest sense. But there were the people of God, and then there were the people of God. You've got the same thing that you've got today within the term Christian. You've got Christian in the broadest sense, anybody who calls himself one, anyone who identifies himself as a Christian, and then you've got Christian in the narrow sense, meaning those who are truly born-again believers, or as I suggested earlier, those who are Bible-believing Christians. Though I must say, even in that category, I would not say that every person is a born-again believer. But what I would say is, every born-again believer is a Bible-believing Christian. Everyone who probably could be put into the category of Bible-believing Christian, in other words, they claim that they believe the Bible, every word of it, from cover to cover, it's all the Word of God. But even though everyone who would identify himself as a Bible-believing Christian may not necessarily be truly born again, it is impossible, listen to me, it is impossible to be a born-again Christian and not be a Bible-believing Christian. And sure enough, going back to Malachi now, before Christ, sure enough, in the midst of all of this Old Testament apostasy, all of this Old Testament departure from the faith, this description of an Old Testament people who were going through the motions but didn't believe the Word of God and didn't honor God and who objected to virtually everything that Malachi said to them as being the Word of God, there was, even in that day, we discover, when we get to verse 16 of chapter 3, there was another group. There was a remnant. There was a smaller group of people. There were those who feared the Lord, and they are spoken of here. Now, I categorized what I'm going to say about these people into five statements that distinguish them from the others. You've got the whole nation of Israel, who all claim to be the people of God, and in one sense they are. They are all God's earthly people, national Israel. And then within that big group, the majority of whom are unbelievers, the majority of whom are lost, the majority of whom, if they don't repent and believe, are going to die and go out into eternal damnation. But in the midst of that larger group, there is a little group who have a very different disposition, and they are distinguished from the others in five ways. And number one is a distinguishing condition. We've seen it here. Then those who feared the Lord. That's what distinguished them. They feared the Lord. They had a very different attitude from the others. They feared the Lord. Now, what does that mean? This statement, feared the Lord, obviously is contrasted with the majority that we have been studying up until this time. All of these people that Malachi was prophesying to and who were arguing with him, objecting to him, refusing to admit that what he was saying was true, they didn't fear the Lord. But here are those who feared the Lord. The majority had opinions that disagreed with what God said, and they thought they had every right to do that. The majority spoke words that contradicted what God said, and they thought they had every right to do that. The majority went through the motions of worship that was only external. Their heart was not in it. They were perfectly satisfied with that. The majority served God only for mercenary motives. That came out in the final complaint, didn't it? They served God only in as much as they hoped to get material blessing in return. And when that didn't happen, they said, "We're bailing out. There's no profit in this." That was the attitude of the majority. They didn't fear the Lord, but here are those who had a very different mindset. They feared the Lord. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord is not, for a believer, is not an act of terror or of guilt. The truth of the matter is, it is only believers who actually and properly fear the Lord. Unbelievers don't. They should. They should. What does Paul say in the book of Romans and in the description of unregenerate people in chapter 3? One of the things he says is, there's no fear of God before their eyes. They should fear God. They have more reason to fear God than anyone else, because they are guilty of sin and they have no salvation, no Savior, no remedy, no cleansing. They are bearing the guilt of their sins, and unless they repent and believe in Christ, they will bear that guilt into the presence of the thrice holy God. Oh, I tell you, these are people who ought to fear God, and one day they certainly will. They will tremble. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Read in the book of Revelation how that these people will call for the rocks to fall upon them. They'll try to get away from the presence of God and they won't be able to do so. They ought to fear God. The only reasonable thing and the only safe thing to do is to fear God now. But most people don't. That's the problem. They don't fear God. But these people did. Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord. To fear the Lord means to stand in awe of Him, of His person. To fear the Lord means to revere and honor His name. To not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In any one of the many dimensions of which that prohibition speaks. To fear the Lord means to exercise faith in God's character and His promises. You have faith in God Himself, in who He is, His character, and you have faith in His promises, His word. To fear the Lord, listen to me, means to gladly submit to His authority. It is to acknowledge that He is Lord. He is Lord. He has a right to rule. I am His subject. I submit to His authority. I fear the Lord. To fear the Lord means to fear only His displeasure. That's the only thing that a child of God ought to fear, is to fear offending God. And we know that He is our Father. And if we do offend Him, there's a wonderful remedy. We can acknowledge our sin and come right back into sweet fellowship with Him. Oh, Lord, give me a heart like this. Give me this kind of the fear of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.